Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Around the Corner podcast from CoveringTheCorner.com. I am your co-host, Brian Hemminger, and joined today by fellow co-host, Matt Schlichting. Matt, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing okay. All things considered, it has been a wild month.
Yes, it has.
The month before it was wild too, and so was the one before that. I think if July ends up being wild, we can officially call it a crazy year.
Yes.
Mathematically, at least.
As this podcast rolls, we talk all things Cleveland Guardians prospects, and it has been a very wild month for top Cleveland Guardians prospects. Like, absolutely insane, to be honest.
And even a great month for some guys that aren't top Guardians prospects.
Yeah, that guys that might become top Guardians prospects.
Yeah, a couple of them better.
Yeah, you'd think.
Well, as always, we'll go ahead and kick things off at the top.
Yeah, so remember, you know, like a month ago, it was even longer than that, when we were like, what's wrong with George Valera? Nope, there's nothing wrong with George Valera. This guy just continues to rake. This is his third straight podcast, which spans 7 weeks now, and he is still putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, at this point, the only reason he hasn't been promoted to AAA is because there are four guys in the outfield of AAA that are all raking in the outfield. So anyway, Valera, over the past 2 weeks, WRC plus of 147 slashed 289, 360, 556. I'd say the only concerning thing was walk rate was a little low. You know, he'd been walking high double digits, but he was at 8%. Struck out 24%, which isn't terrible. And then out of his hits, he had 13 hits and mixed them up well. Two doubles, two triples, two home runs, and seven singles. Scored 11 runs. Got hit by a pitch. So just all around really solid effort there from Valera.
I am in love with the organizational focus on extra base hits writ large instead of just home runs. And so seeing Valera legging out three triples, ooh, that's slug. That's a very real slug right there.
Yeah. It's only one off a home run in terms of slugging.
So. Yeah. It's also going to be hilarious to me if Valera gets stuck in Akron for a while because there's too many good outfielders at AAA. What in the world? If you told me that, I don't know, 2 months ago, like,
yeah,
literally,
you mean
entering right before
the season,
this seven-month stretch, I'd have been like, what are you talking about? No.
Yeah. Entering the season, outfield was the biggest question mark in the system, and now we have too many. I just wish they'd call up some of those guys at AAA that are doing so well, because they're still struggling at the major league level.
A little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, I know Miles Straw has a five-year contract, but maybe I think he's got options.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to go too down the rabbit hole on the major league outfielders,
but it's
nice that we have a number of options that appear to be absolutely ready to go.
Should the team decide
it's time to make a move.
Well, let's continue to our number two prospect and welcome back Brian Rocchio.
This is crazy. Our shortstop at AA went ahead and slashed 359, 422, 795.
Yeah.
That's good for a 218 WRC plus over there in the Eastern League, I guess.
That means he's better than two good players.
Yeah.
That's how that works, WRC plus. That it's like a anything over 100 means you're that much of a percentage better than league average.
And then the .18.
Yeah.
That's like seven of me. That's pretty good.
So he's 118% better than a good player.
Yeah, and he, again, that slugging percentage, did he hit four home runs? You bet, but he had five doubles in there too. Mm-hmm. Like, out of 14 of his hits, nine of them went for extra bases. And he walked five times. Why not?
Yeah, and only struck out five. So.
Just incredible stretch of games for Rocchio. He's ready to go up to AAA now, too. Like, we have hit this point now where some of these guys, I think they're, if they're not ready, they're really close, and they are rocketing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been waiting for Rocchio to break out all season, honestly. So this was a really good sign. And you know what? These numbers don't even include his three-hit game that he had today. So,
hey!
Yeah. So, yeah, he's not slowing down in the least. It's always a good sign.
Another middle infielder, number three on our list, Tyler Freeman.
Yeah. Freeman didn't have a bad two-week stretch. He was pretty much average to above average. Slashed 271, 327, 333. I'd say the biggest problem was, just a lack of pop out of his hits. Like, even, doubles are good, but out of 13 hits, 12 were singles. He did manage to get a home run in there too, but WRC plus was just 81. And I think the biggest problem out of all those numbers to me is the 3.8% walk rate, because he had been showing some real signs of improvement in that area in, I'd say, the entire last month. And it seems like he regressed a little bit in that department, but he did make up for it. Got hit by another two pitches. So
this is actually, it's been fun to keep an eye on his ability to draw walks over his development in the system, because we've definitely seen it in some of the more recent podcasts, his ability to avoid outs, I suppose. But having him, I guess, slip back a little bit this last couple of weeks, like you said, now we get to, it's kind of cool to see a guy doing the work, how he responds to, obviously it didn't work this past week as well as it had been, so for this last 2 weeks, so let's see how he does from here. It'll be fun.
And the good news is he's still not striking out much at all, so
right.
Moving on, our favorite pitcher Daniel Espino, still not back. Basically everything that I've heard was, when he first got pulled, it was knee tendonitis. And the newest thing was that, while rehabbing the knee tendonitis and resting that, he had some shoulder soreness. So haven't heard anything about any need for intervention in terms of like any surgeries or anything. But you always get a little nervous when you hear shoulder. But from everything I'm hearing, he's in Arizona rehabbing, and the shoulder has really been what slowed him down in terms of his ability to get back on the mound.
Given that it's a shoulder, I say they take as long as it takes.
Mm-hmm. So, he's still, 21 years old at AA as one of the top pitching prospects in baseball. So MLB Pipeline just updated its top 100 again, and I think he was either number 10 or number 11 in all of baseball, the second highest rated pitcher. And jeez, the youngest pitcher. So
very exciting. Still,
yeah, very, very exciting young arm. So just get healthy, Daniel, and I hope we get to see you this season at some point. But just take your time. The last thing we want to do is rush him back and then he makes like two bad starts and then goes right back on the injured list.
Now, another player who had been injured for a little bit but has returned and is now on the Major League Ball Club, Gabriel Arias.
Well, he was on the Major League Ball Club.
Gasp.
They called him up for four games. He got, in those four games, he had 11 at-bats, 12 plate appearances, had one walk, one single, struck out five times.
Welcome to the show.
And I think he had a toot plan if you know what that is.
Oh, yeah, I saw it live. It was not fun. Oh, I was very unhappy.
So it was not a good showing. And it was super frustrating for me because basically he was called up and the corresponding move was placing Oscar Gonzalez on the injured list. Like, I like Gabriel Arias. I think that he has a very bright future. But out of all of these elite prospects that we have, he was not the one that was, you know, playing well at the time. Like, he was just barely settling back in after his hand or wrist injury that he sustained.
Right.
Got him out of action for about a month. Like, he was literally just getting back into the thick of things. And then they called him up. I just don't know what they're doing with him. It made no sense. And he clearly, you know, showed that he wasn't ready right now to be facing major league pitchers. Like, just swinging at stuff. Not even close to the zone. And they did it to replace an outfielder that got placed on the injured list. Why not call up one of these four outfielders that is absolutely raking?
Yeah.
We've got Alex Call, Nolan Jones, Will Brennan, and Will Benson all tearing up AAA. Every single one of them.
Like, it's silly.
Crazy numbers. And their corresponding move to Oscar Gonzalez going on the injured list is to call up the one guy on Columbus that was not hitting well. They were scoring like 11 runs a game for a week straight. And he was the only guy on the team that was not really contributing to that. And he was the one. Like, I don't know. What's that say to those other guys that are not? Nah, I don't know. It's just super frustrating for me that the guys are not being rewarded for their incredible play.
I would have thought Alex Call would have been a pretty easy call to make.
He's the one guy that's right-handed, if that really matters.
Like, he's a little bit older. I don't think they're necessarily as concerned about the service time. But
oh, absolutely not.
That's why I think it made sense. He deserves it.
He wasn't on the 40-man, though, so they would have had to make a 40-man move.
No, we have too many good players.
But then they go and bring back Oscar Mercado. So.
Right? I like Oscar Mercado a lot, and I understand it makes sense to bring back a guy who is with the org because he just gels right back in. But these guys, let's just get to Nolan. What did Nolan Jones do, Brian? God damn it.
Nolan Jones, you know, he has been playing outfield the entire time.
Yep.
And he was sensational.
Mm-hmm.
Batted .333 with a .429 on base percentage, .643 slugging.
Say that again.
.643 slugging. A WRC plus of 180. Struck out 22%, walked 14%.
Hello.
Stole three bases. Hit three home runs, a triple, two doubles. I mean, 15 runs batted in, 12 runs scored over a two-week stretch.
I think
he,
it's
time. And he's on the 40, man. And he's hitting, he has an OPS at AAA against left-handed pitchers of over 1,000. You don't even need to platoon him.
I know it. It's
he could be your guy that replaces a right-handed bat in the outfield because he can hit lefties. He's been able to hit lefties for two seasons now. So, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. Like, they're trying to balance, let the kids play with contend, and I don't know. If this was a week ago, I'd still be really happy, but this has been a week of get swept by the Tigers and Red Sox and lose. Oh, I think we've lost, like, 9 out of 10. I mean, it's just made me worse than that. So, I don't know. It eats away at your soul a little bit.
Yeah.
But Nolan's been so good. Like, literally, he took like 1 week to figure it out after he got back from his injuries. And he has been incredible ever since. Like, he is ready. He's 24 years old. He's hitting for power. He's getting on base. His strikeout rate is down. He's ready.
Brian, he might need to work on his fielding.
He's in the outfield.
Ernie Clement, right? Like, come on.
I know.
No disrespect to Ernie. He is the guy who does whatever is asked for him, and that's fucking awesome. However,
Yeah, yeah.
Nolan Jones is ready.
Okay, well, let's talk about a pitcher that actually pitched. let's hear about the one true Logan Allen.
This is a wild couple of weeks. So he went ahead and started two games for us. We'll do this a little out of order. 15.3 strikeouts per nine, a walk rate of 6.1%, no intentional walks, no hit pitchers, or no hit batsmen, no wild pitches, ERA of 7.04, walk rate of 6.5, gave up a couple of bombs. Interesting so, times.
Yeah, so disclaimer, basically Logan Allen had one of his best starts of the season at Double A, where he went 7 innings, allowed 1 run on 2 hits, 1 walk, 11 strikeouts. Okay, right? Like, that's player of the week worthy if he gets even close to that twice. But then he got promoted to AAA, and in his AAA debut, he did not get out of the first inning.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. So in Logan Allen's AAA debut, he went 2/3 of an inning, gave up 6 hits, and walked a guy, and gave up 5 earned runs.
You know, there is something to be said for just tanking your first time out there. It's like, well, that's over with. Can't feel any worse than this.
Unfortunately.
Don't tell me.
Hang on.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think he was the starting pitcher today. It's not in, like, the official stats yet. Not as bad.
Okay.
But still bad.
Okay, well, I guess review the carnage next time we record.
So the good news is he made it longer than one inning.
Oh, and he was striking guys out. I'm wondering.
Yeah, his two outs that he recorded in his AAA debut were both strikeouts.
Yeah. I'm wondering, obviously it's hard to, I'm not even going to wonder. Tell us about a much better week that our friend Gavin Williams had.
Well, it's kind of funny. Gavin Williams had a very similar situation happen. It's just he wasn't punished quite as severely. So
punished.
Gavin Williams, as you all know, was promoted to AA recently. And now it wasn't his first AA start, it was his third. But in that third AA start, he did not get out of the first inning. He went 2/3 of an inning, walked 3 guys, gave up a hit, and got 2 strikeouts, and they yanked him. But only 1 run came around to score. So it didn't kill his overall numbers. But then in his next start, his most recent one, again, this was at AA, he had his best AA start out of his 4 appearances so far, where he went 6 2/3 innings, struck out 6, didn't walk anybody, allowed 1 unearned run on 4 hits. So over those 2 appearances, even though the 1 was not a good appearance, he only allowed 1 earned run. So that's why his numbers look a lot better than Logan Allen's, even though they had a very similar situation happen where they both only went 2/3 of an inning in a start. So
interesting that they yanked him that quickly, didn't let him try to get into a little bit more trouble, I guess. But
yeah, and I should point out that in the new top 100 on MLBpipeline.com, Gavin Williams is now coming in at number 81 overall.
Hello, I like it. Please give me more of this.
I will have a couple other interesting tidbits to add as we get a little bit further into our top 10 players.
Yes! Can I lead us into number 9?
Absolutely.
John Kensie Noel.
Let's hear it.
He slashed 263, 364, 763.
Yep.
That's a 194 WRC plus in his lands. 6 home runs. Sure.
5 of those were at AA. He's been promoted.
It's been funny. The Akron Rubber Ducks Twitter account is amazing. Please follow them. Like their Instagram account is excellent too. But anyway, all of their socials hilarious, and they've been having fun with Noel showing up and just blistering the ball. And the other funny thing about it is he hit so many home runs, he ends up with a weird BABIP of 211.
Yeah.
Like, just a ridiculous week. 8 RBIs, even drew 5 walks along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter that he struck out 13 times. I don't care. Look at that slugging percentage. 7.63. Yep. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, he had 2 multi-home run games in Akron so far already.
It's insane.
Yeah, I've been blown away by his response to getting called up. Like, I was like, you know what? His strikeout rate's a little scary at high A. You know, what's going to happen is he's facing, you know, what has traditionally been one of the toughest jumps from any single A level to double A. And he immediately just started torturing pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So... really, really impressed about John Kenzie Noel's adaption to AA. And that brings me to my fun tidbit. They just announced the participants of the Futures game, or at least some of them. John Kenzie Noel will be representing the Cleveland Guardians in the Futures game.
Cool.
As will George Valera.
Oh, I hope we see a couple of monstrous home runs. So, that would be fun.
What's funny is, you know, this organization is known for elite pitching, and I haven't heard anything about any pitchers yet. So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Do the organizations have a say in who they send?
I do not know.
That's fun. Everybody knows the pitchers are great. This year, they're trotting out.
I will say I'm annoyed that the Futures game is 7 innings still.
Yeah, that's dumb. Play 9.
Moving
grow a
on,
pair of innings.
We have a debut in our top 10 with the graduation of Richard Palacios, who has remained on the Cleveland roster long enough to lose his rookie status. We have decided to include a certain Bo Naylor, who was a former, maybe even top 5 prospect, that fell off after a tough season last year where he spent the whole year at AA, jumped multiple levels, and struggled. This year, he is making up for it in a big way. He was raking so hard at AA that they promoted him to AAA, and he still put up insane numbers over his past 2 weeks. So Bo's line here was 350. With a 449 on base percentage and 600 slugging, had a WRC plus at AAA of 176. He walked more than he struck out, with a 16.3% walk rate, 14.3% strikeout rate. And out of his 14 hits, 4 were doubles and 2 were home runs. He even stole a base.
I'm going to feel so vindicated when this dude's an all-star.
He is definitely exciting. It's great to have Bo back. Honestly, he has been really strong all season. So I am really happy that we'll be getting to inform our listeners about him every week.
Inform the men! Yeah, I'm obviously excited to see him getting promoted and not really slowing down at all.
What I really can't wait for is to see a back-to-back Naylor Jacks.
We won't have to wait for long. I'm wondering, with the catching situation being the way it is, how long would Naylor have to play like this for the Guardians to finally say, okay, I guess it is this year, fine. There you go.
Probably not. Just because, I mean, he's only been at AAA for not even a month yet. But he's definitely going to have an opportunity to get a starting spot next season. I mean, I don't think we have anybody in the way. Hedges does not have any contract after next year, like any types of years or anything. I think he's in arbitration. So, you know, Maley's definitely not stepping in his way.
Yeah.
Lavastida's not in his way. I mean, it is Bo's to take at this point.
I guess what I mean is we have the second worst offense in the league at the catching position. Last I heard, it's in the 40s
as far as
WRC plus is. Naylor just hit 350, 450, 600, basically. Like, if he does that for another month, just let's just pretend he does it for another month and we're still trotting out a couple of guys who may or may not belong on a roster. What? So I at a certain point, some of these guys are going to be playing so well that they're going to have to answer some questions. And like, Naylor can't possibly hit worse than those guys right now.
Yeah.
So I want to
add a funny anecdote about Bo Naylor. Zach Measel wrote a little story about six of the top performing prospects in Cleveland's system. They were, let's see here, Nolan Jones, Daniel Espino, George Valera, Bo Naylor, Will Brennan, and John Kenzie Noel. But the little tidbit he added about Bo Naylor that I just thought was amazing was he taught himself Spanish so he could be a better teammate. Isn't that cool?
So high leadership, high work ethic, high intelligence, high loyalty. Like, he just hit the OOTP jackpot for player development. And, you know, I'm being silly, but what a cool guy.
Yep, what a cool guy. So we love Bo Naylor here on Around the Corner.
One of these days, I'm going to hear somebody talking about Bo Naylor that I don't know, and I'm just going to go, "You've heard the good news?"
Well, moving on, let's talk about our top five players of the week. And it was, I'll say this, it was tough not using a ton of the players from our top 10. Because you looked at that, we had a guy with a 218 WRC plus, 180, 194, 176, 147. Our top 10 were scorching, okay? But we somehow had four other players that were even better. Possibly five.
You're very excited about number one.
Yes. So let's talk about him. He is my name this week, I believe. So yeah, can't stop Micah Priess. Micah Priess, a first baseman / outfielder at AA. So Matt, I don't know if you heard about this, but 2 weeks ago, Micah Priess had a monstrous week, and the Eastern League named him the player of the week for that week. So what did he do? He followed it up with another monster week and got player of the week again. Out of every player at AA in the Eastern League, he got back-to-back player of the week awards.
Well, good.
And deservedly so. Over those 2 weeks, which pretty much span, you know, the time since we've talked about him on this last podcast, he had a slash line of 474, 551, 1,000
even.
Yeah, WRC plus 291. He was almost three players worth. Walk rate was elite, 18.4%, which was higher than his strikeout rate. Out of his 18 hits that he had in 10 games, he had three doubles, a triple, and five home runs. He had 13 runs scored, 16 runs batted in. He walked nine times, and he stole three bases. What a beast.
It's very good, Brian. It's very good.
This was a guy that, you know, I've, you know, been pretty high on myself. I mean, last year he was my corner cupboard guy.
He was in there for a while, yeah.
Yeah, for most of the season. So he had a pretty strong season last year. I believe he started it at Lynchburg and moved on up to Lake County. He had really good numbers at Lynchburg as a college bat. And then Lake County, he was good. I don't know if he was great, but he has been by far the hottest player in the entire system over the last 2 weeks. And he plays first base. And he's right-handed, I think.
A right-handed power bat?
I wouldn't say like insane power, but definite power. He's got some pop. Let me double check to make sure he's right-handed. He might not be. Nope, left-handed. They're always left-handed.
What can you do? He's probably got opposite field power, right? That kind of counts.
Yeah, he's 6'4". He's a big guy.
Number two this fortnight is Mr. Alexstrasz Plaines.
Yeah, so this is a guy that, if you remember, like, there were, like, people, like, he was, like, almost mythological entering last season. People were talking about, like, depending on what website you looked at, he was either, like, 6 foot, 180 pounds, or, like, 6'5", 240.
Reports, like, of the man exist, but no one's seen him.
Like, and there were just insane reports about elite contact skills, massive power potential, and then he showed up and was okay. Like, not amazing. Did hit a few home runs at Lynchburg. Played full season ball. I mean, he was just good. But he has been red hot for 2 weeks now. He's actually on, I think, a 16-game hitting streak. Very Oscar Gonzalez-esque, though, because he has one walk the entire season.
It was a nice walk.
Yeah. So during this 2-week stretch, he has slashed .354 with a .354 on base percentage.
You kind of love to see it. You don't, but you do. Yeah,
and a .667 slugging. Out of his 17 hits over those 11 games he played, he had 8 singles, 6 doubles, 3 home runs, scored 9 runs, knocked in 8, stole a base. So, did keep his strikeout rate low. I mean, only 16.7%. I mean, that's playable. Yet another young power bat to keep an outfielder to keep an eye on.
And I will note, for curious listeners, this season, he is evidently 6'2", 180 pounds, according to minor league baseball. We'll see.
My brother actually got to see him play firsthand. He went to a Fort Wayne Tin Caps game when they were playing the Lake County Captains, and he got to see Alex Free playing as blast a grand slam.
Yes.
So he said firsthand that this guy hits the ball very far. Next up, we've got a young catching prospect from the Dominican Summer League, Jose Sedeno, or maybe Sedeno, 17 years old, out of the DSL. He slashed .450, .607, .700 over a period of 7 games the past 2 weeks.
They let you do that?
Yeah. He had a .240 WRC plus. His BABIP was .500. And out of his 9 hits, he had 3 doubles and a triple. Stole 3 bases. And I think most impressively, walked 6 times and was hit by 2 pitches and only struck out twice. So definitely a young, talented prospect to keep an eye on moving forward. I believe he is leading all of the Cleveland Dominican players in hitting at this point. So
a little interested. I had to check his size because
he's a little guy.
5'7", 140.
Yeah.
This is the first time I have seen a baseball player that we've talked about who is smaller than I am. And that's not that I'm not trying to be funny or anything. I'm just
Durango might have been. Luis Durango, the guy we talked about that stole like a ridiculous amount of bases.
Is there a concern with him being a catching prospect being that small?
I mean, 17 years old. I mean, he's still got a few years of growing to do.
Sure, I guess so, that's true.
I mean, he's not done, like, his growth plates haven't even finished. Like, when they're that young, you can't just box them in to a specific thing. So
I guess that's fair. And then you've got weird edge cases like Hato Turkoglu grew like 2 inches after he got drafted.
Yep.
Anyway, you make a good point. People do continue to grow. I'm kind of silly, but
They don't always.
He's literally a kid.
You're not going to grow if you're a 23-year-old college pitcher. So
I feel kind of like a dumbass. He's literally a kid. I'm not thinking.
So I mean, it's the Dominican Summer Leagues. So
yeah.
I mean, we sign these guys very young. Sometimes it's a total crapshoot. I'm not exactly sure how, like, they can tell if somebody has the potential to be a star, but they have definitely been doing a really good job of identifying a lot of young, talented offensive players.
Yes, and it's like we've talked a little bit about how sometimes you see a stretch of games that, like, there's not just anybody that can do that. Like, from time to time, just anybody can have a great week, but it takes a certain caliber of talent to, at any level, at any point, go 412, 537, 627 for 2 weeks. Like, not just anybody can do that. And for him to do it at 17 in the rookie league is exciting.
Yep.
Regardless of his stature.
And of our top 10 prospects that we are keeping track of, four of them were, you know, international position players. So now, granted, we traded for one, but the other three were homegrown developed. So pretty wild. Like, they're definitely doing something right. And there's more coming, a lot more.
I continue to be excited. So our next guy on the list, Brian Rocchio. We already talked about.
Yeah, we couldn't exclude him when you put up a 218 WRC plus and Jack four home runs. He also had a multi home run game. I think it was the same night that Noel had a multi home. So they both hit two home runs in the same game, and I think they somehow lost.
Well, baseball, Brian.
Yeah, baseball. Yep.
I know you're very excited to talk about number five, and it also is a very nice segue into the corner cupboard.
Yes. So corner cupboard, as you all know, are players that were not, top 20 around the corner prospects that we think deserve a closer look that we follow along throughout the season. We're welcome to kick off or add players throughout the season, but typically it's one position player and one pitcher that we'll be following throughout the year. My position player, Will Brennan, has been really, really good. I mean, he was good enough that you and I both thought that he was worthy of a corner cupboard selection in our very first podcast after the first week of the season. And he has not slowed down once all year. And during this past 2 week stretch, he slashed, and this is at AAA, because he's been promoted to AAA. He slashed 436, 500, 636, good for a 205 WRC plus, 9.7% strikeout rate, 11.3% walk rate, stole four bases, hit two home runs, and five doubles, scored 13 runs, 11 runs batted in, seven walks, six strikeouts. I mean, what more can this man do?
So, you know, back in the day, playing NCAA football on PS2 or something, there's some teams where you'd, like, start the dynasty mode, and then you'd check out the roster, and you'd be like, wait, why is this 98 overall running back on the bench and this, like, slow 82 overall guy starting? This makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you started a Guardians franchise right now, you'd look at the outfield situation and go, is this insanity? Like, why isn't Will Brennan in Cleveland? Come on!
And you know what's nuts? He now has 70 runs batted in on the season. I know that's not a number that matters in terms of, you know, the important statistics. But we were all praising Jose Ramirez's name for leading the league in runs batted in for so long. And I think Jose's had like one run batted in over the last like 3 weeks. But Will Brennan had 39 runns batted in at AA before they promoted him. And that was in 36 games. And then in 34 games at AAA, he's got 30 runs batted in.
He's never had a bad year.
Nope.
He's pretty much just consistently raked. And as far as I know, like I don't have a good read on his fielding ability.
It's good. Ability,
but
he's good.
Okay.
Good defense.
I feel like I'm like,
everybody missed this guy. Like Fangraphs didn't even have him in their top like 70.
Yeah. I don't even know. They have
nothing about him. They have absolutely nothing. Like from everything that I've seen, he has a very similar profile to Stephen Kwan, except he's faster and bigger and hits harder.
This man is a problem. Will Brennan is just a problem, and everyone's going to have to deal with it. That's all.
Yeah, I am on board with Team Brennan. I mean, honestly, if I had my way, if I was the Indians Guardians GM, I would have Will Brennan starting center field.
We were aware of him and thought it would be worthwhile to keep tabs on him, but this is ridiculous.
Like, you remember last year, you know, Owen Miller watch, because he was batting like 500 for the first like 2 or 3 weeks of the season, but then he slowed down, right? Will Brennan never slowed down. He's gotten better.
I have no more good things to say.
Yeah.
So
let's hear about yours.
I have made a change in the cupboard. We say farewell to Daniel Schneeman, and we thank him for his time here in the corner cupboard. We have moved on to, and I'm doing air quotes here, infielder Jake Fox. Several folks on Twitter just earned 10 points for guessing correctly. He slashed 371, 511, 514, a 20% walk rate. He had three doubles and a triple. He hasn't really had home run power that I've seen yet, but
yeah, he's hit three so far this season. But yeah, that's not a strong point of his game. But again, he's 19 years old.
Right. And very often guys at that age who are hitting doubles turn into players that obliterate the ball over the fence later on. But it's nice to see a kind of profile emerging where even if the power doesn't develop, that could be a valuable major league bat. And they have been using him in the outfield at times this season, in addition to his natural positions in the infield. Although I'm beginning to wonder, with the nature of like travel showcases or travel baseball and showcase events, like, to what extent is there actually, like, I wonder if a lot of guys kind of get to a point where when they get drafted or are ready to get into a system, they kind of know a lot of different positions, and there might be a certain type of player who, like, they're just a great all-around athlete, and so maybe it's worth seeing if their instincts are better at center or short or second. I don't know. It feels like positions aren't nearly as sticky as they used to be.
Well, especially for the really good, you know, middle infield athletes, they're able to kind of get moved around a little bit, because, you know, to be a shortstop, you have to be, you know, quick reflexes. You have to be a good athlete. You have to have a good arm. You have to be able to field clearly. So I think Cleveland has identified that and gone, okay, we're just going to get a ton of good shortstops. The very best of the best of the best will stay there. And then we're just going to start moving them around. And it seems like Jake Fox this year has spent 24 games in center field, 5 at shortstop, and 6 as designated hitter. This guy's interesting. I really like him. I think it's a great selection. I think he's not going to be eligible for corner cupboard next year because he's going to be a top 20 covering the corner prospect, in my
opinion.
Most
likely. And I think one of the top 100 lists I looked at recently, I think he was already up at 27, 28. So, yep.
And if you remember last year, Cleveland drafted, out of their 21 picks in 20 rounds, they took 18 college pitchers. But in the third round, they selected Jake Fox as a high school bat and position player. So they clearly saw something they really liked with him. And he immediately played well. He actually went to the Arizona League, and in 13 games, so this wasn't like just some real small sample size, and 49 plate appearances, he slashed a 405, 469, 425 with a 147 WRC plus last year. And so far he's put up a 136 WRC plus for the season at Lynchburg full season ball. So I am all aboard with Team Fox. I think he's a great pick. Can't wait to see what he does each and every week when we talk about our guys.
I'm not going to lie. Part of the reason I've started keeping tabs on him is because he's also from Central Florida, but whatever.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. We've had some good success with players from Central Florida.
You can play baseball all year in the middle of a damn swamp.
So moving on, we've got my pitcher, and he is none other than baby Kershaw, Will Dion. And Will had a very, very strong 2 week period. During that time, he has made three starts. Two of those starts were insane. The first start went six innings, where he tossed six shutout innings with eight strikeouts and a walk, allowed five hits. His most recent start, he set a career-high double-digit strikeouts, 10 strikeouts, and over six innings, allowed one run on a solo shot. So, and then in the middle there, he allowed three runs in 4 2/3 innings. So overall, during his three starts, he lasted 16 2/3 innings, put up a 2.16 ERA, struck out 22, walked 6, allowed 4 earned runs on 13 hits. So really, really strong showing from Will Dion, and I don't think that he'll be pitching for Lynchburg much longer.
It seems like it might be time.
Speaking of players no longer pitching in Lynchburg,
Jack Leftwich is very good. He pitched 3 games as starter, had an ERA of 2.14 in 18 2/3 innings, strikeouts per 9 of 8.68, walks per 9, 1.93. Very efficient. Gave up 13 hits, struck out 18 batters, walked 4. You wouldn't mind seeing, I don't know, a lower whip? Why not 0.7 or 0.6? Maybe that's asking too much. I don't know.
I will give him this, especially. Out of all these players that we've been bringing up recently that got promoted and then had a rough start in their debut at the new level, Jack Leftwich did the exact opposite. When he got promoted in his last start to High A Lake County, he went 6 1/3 innings of shutout baseball, only allowed one hit in that time period, and then struck out 4, walked 2. So he was sensational in his High A debut. So massive props to Jack Leftwich. His season has been incredible because he started the year as a piggyback guy. Like, somebody else would start and go like 3 innings, and then he would come in and go like 3 innings.
Yeah, he's taken over.
And he just kept outperforming the starter to the point where they're like, okay, screw it, you can start. And then he had a 10 strikeout game in one of his starts here. During this 2 week stretch, he went 7 innings and struck out 9 and allowed just one run. And that was his second to last start at Lynchburg. So, I mean, Cleveland was like, all right, we give up. Like,
fine.
These batters in the Carolina League are sick of you. We'll send you up to Lake County.
We're getting letters. It's pretty bad.
It's unfair.
Well, you gotta go.
Yep. So it's been a really good 2 week stretch for both of our corner covered pitchers.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I guess we can gloat a little bit, right?
Yeah, we know some good prospects when we see them. And props to me for giving up on Aaron Davenport and jumping on the Will Dion train within like one podcast. Davenport hasn't even been terrible. It's just Dion's been way better. So
he's having quite a season. Yeah. So I believe we're on to transactions.
Oh yeah. We've had a ton. So we've given away several of them, but we'll go over them again as they are, like, at least the most important ones. So let's start with Quentin Holmes, former top draft pick the year that Tyler Freeman was selected. He was activated at Lake County. I think his first game, he went 2 for 4 with a double. So he is playing right now in the outfield. This one was a little surprising. Victor Nova, he was, I think, the last guy we got At the time, he was in Arizona during the Trevor Bauer trade, and he was released. So they let him go. So at this point, all we have left from the Trevor Bauer trade is Franmil Reyes. So maybe that trade didn't turn out quite as good as we thought. Then we had, let's see here, left-handed pitcher Matt Turner was assigned to Lake County from the Arizona Rookie League. Kirk McCarty was called up for a spot start in a doubleheader, DFA'd, and then claimed by Baltimore. So he is no longer in the organization. Ryan Webb, a fourth-round pick in last year's draft. At the time that we drafted him, he was recovering from Tommy John surgery. So he was one of those guys that was kind of a lottery ticket. And he has been making a few rehab starts in Arizona, and he now was promoted to Lynchburg. So he will be getting stretched out, and we'll see what we got there out of a pretty high draft pick. So keep an eye on Ryan Webb moving forward. Also, let's see here. John Kenzie Noel was promoted to AA. We had Tanner Bibee and Gavin Williams promoted to AA from Lake County. And we had Xavion Curry and Logan, the one true Logan Allen, promoted to AAA from AA. And as we mentioned earlier, Jack Leftwich promoted to High A from Lynchburg. So there has been a ton of movement in the Cleveland system. I think I caught everything, or at least all the most significant ones.
Well, as you know, we get a flood of letters through the post office every time you miss one of these. So I'm counting on you to have nailed it, Brian. I cannot go through all these letters again.
That's okay. I'll take the brunt of it. I'll read the hate mail.
Thank you for going through them again. This was a really interesting couple of weeks, especially because of some of the promotions. Keeping track
several of top prospects getting promoted. So
yeah, and guys that we've just been keeping track of.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's all that we have for this week, I have a quick poem I'd like to share from a man named E.E. Gammings, if I may.
Let's hear it.
Such a brush, such a shortstop, no water tower is too dominant for barnacle chasers. No governor can have too many brushes. Caution.
Time we talk about tech in terms of a handful of gigantic companies like Google, Meta, and Apple. But some of the most interesting stuff we find online is the product of a single person.
When you're working on your own, I think there's this beauty of being able to come up with an idea and then implement it. Then in that moment, you don't have to have permission from someone else. There's no red tape.
In the Vergecast series Solo Acts, we'll get to know these people, the tech they use to get stuff done, and the obstacles they face trying to compete with the giants.
Some people that I talk to and my friends are like, no, your competitors are Zuckerberg and Musk. Like, aren't you kind of like afraid of that?
Every Monday, our friend Ashley Esqueda will be curating and hosting these interviews and sharing with us what she's learned.
I can't believe the McRib locator was originally a tornado locator.
Right.
Pretty wild.
Listen to our Solo Acts miniseries now in the Vergecast feed, anywhere you find podcasts.
Hello, I'm Neelai Patel, the editor-in-chief of The Verge and host of Decoder, a business podcast where I interview CEOs about big ideas, the problems that come from those ideas, and how they make decisions. It is also surprisingly about org charts. It comes up a lot. We're launching a new limited series that we're calling the Centennial Series, where I talk to CEOs of companies that are over 100 years old, like Xerox, Barnes & Noble, and more. There's no 100-year-old company that's without its struggles, and it's been fascinating to talk to these CEOs about which parts of these companies' history are important and which parts they can let go. A little spoiler for you, if a company is over 100 years old, there's a lot of drama to talk about. It's been a good time. You can listen to the Centennial series right in the Decoder feed. New episodes of Decoder are out on Tuesday, and the Centennial series is out on Thursdays. Check it out. We think you're really going to like it. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts.